How many people have your Bibles today? Amen. What a show of the Word. Raise it higher. Amen. You may be seated. We will start today in the book of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. If you're taking notes today and want a reference of the Scripture, then write this down. Matthew 26, Exodus 35, 1 Chronicles 28, 2 Corinthians 8, Numbers 13. The subject that I want to speak to you today about is, are you willing? Are you willing? I want you to turn to the person beside of you and I want you to ask them, are you willing? Now understand, this question comes because it's a question that we flippantly answer and just say, yes, we are willing. So if we ask the person beside of us, are you willing to serve the Lord? Are you willing to love the Lord? Are you willing to trust the Lord? Are you willing to believe in the Lord? Are you willing to give to the Lord? Are you willing? Then of course, us good church people, we say, yes, we are willing. So when the question is posed to us, immediately the response comes back, yes, we're willing, yes, we're willing. But I don't think sometimes we understand what God is trying to tell us about being willing. So today, the question is, are you willing? I don't know that there's ever been a sermon that I want to preach as bad as the one that I want to preach today. I know I was telling Angie last night, I was just so excited just to see what God shows us in His words and how important this one thing is, because we come to church a lot of times and we think, oh, we need to have a great faith. We need to love God. We need to serve God. We need to give to God. We need to trust God. And all those things are a place that we want to get to. But I want you to understand that we can't just get to that place. There's the first things first. Sometimes loving is second base. Giving is third base. Trusting is home plate. Understand, first base is being willing. In order to get to any of these things that we need to get to, we need to be willing. In the book of Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before He was to be crucified, went to pray, and His disciples followed Him to pray. And He left His disciples and He came back and He found them sleeping and He had been praying earnestly, and He comes back and He gives them this advice: watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is what?
Willing.
The spirit is what?
Willing.
Tell me again.
Willing.
The spirit is what?
Willing.
The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, and we battle this. We battle a weak flesh. There are so many times that I hear people say and use this passage of Scripture for an excuse and say, well, you know what the Bible says, the flesh is weak, and I'm just a red-blooded man, and this is all I could do, and I know I sinned, but the flesh is weak. No, 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 you're misinterpreting. He says the spirit is willing. The problem is we're not willing in the flesh. The flesh is weak. So as we talk about this today, I want you to understand the importance of being willing. When I look back on my life as a Christian, since I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and even before, I realized, first of all, in order to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I didn't have to be good. I didn't have to be smart. I didn't have to be rich. I didn't have to be anything but willing. And then after I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, after you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to trust, you don't have to have faith, you don't have to love, you have to first be willing to do it. You won't just go to those spots. So if you leave here today and you say, hey, I've been wondering because I hear these things and I leave and I want to change, what's the problem? I can tell you that a lot of the problem is that truly inside, we haven't been willing to do them. We want to do them. We wish we could do them. But being willing is a big deal. If I were to ask you today, What's the first thing that God wants us to do in order for you to please Him, in order for you to have the blessings of God on your life, or just to have a relationship with God? What are the first things you need to do? There would be some people in here that would answer, you have to have faith in God. You have to believe in God. And you might quote Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And you might say, he says believe. And others may say, well, the first thing that you have to do is seek God. And you may say, hey, turn to Matthew 6:33. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And others may say, well, you first have to trust him. And you go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he will direct thy paths. And you say, look here, it's scripture. That's what we need to do. And you might say, first you have to love God. Matthew 22, 37, Jesus himself said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Others may say, you might first have to serve God. And you can quote Psalms 100. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And others may say, well, the Lord wants you to give to him. So first you have to give yourself and then give to him. And you may quote Luke 6:38, which says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And all those are things God wants us to do. Every one of these things are things that God requires us to do, and we know that. We know that by reading his word, but there's something that God wants us to do first. Say that word with me. First. Again. First things first. He wants us to do this first. Before we can do any of these things, there is one thing that will determine if we really have faith and believe. It will determine if we really are seeking God, if we really trust God, if we really love God, if we really are willing to serve God, if we're willing to give to God first. What God wants us to do is be willing to do these things. You say, well, of course. Well, in the middle of a course, we miss that. We leave here a lot of times out of service and we say, I know I need to do that. I know I need to do this better. I know God wants me to do this. We read today in the Word that he says do this, but there's a big obstacle. The obstacle is that if we look at ourselves and if we know ourselves, the problem is we are just not willing to do it. Amen? You can say that about the person beside of you if you're not willing to say it about yourself, right? Let's all say it about ourselves. The fact is, we're just not willing sometimes to do it, are we? Amen. You see, willingness is that obstacle that stops us from truly believing, or truly seeking, or truly trusting, or truly loving, or truly serving, or truly giving, or even truly worshiping. We're just not willing. This morning, praise God, these young people got up here and sang out of the passion of their heart. Why? Because they were willing. The choir assembled here and sang because they were willing. Anything that happens in here this morning that you see will be because you were willing to come and see it. Anything that you hear this morning, you'll hear because you were willing to come and hear it. So this morning, everybody here was at least willing to come to worship. You say, well, of course we are. Well, there's a lot of people that aren't willing to come. Maybe there's times you weren't willing to come. Something else was your will more than this was, so you weren't willing to come. This morning, you were willing to come. Let's think about this. We can know that God wants us to do all of these things, but if we're not first willing to do them, then we're not going to be able to do them. Our willingness is the first thing that God's looking for. All of the things that we mentioned this morning are actions. Actions. But these actions cannot truly happen if we're not willing to do them. That's the first step. Willingness happens in the mind and in the heart, and our actions are a product of willingness, aren't they? Before you can come and sing, don't you first have to be willing to sing? Before you do anything, you have to be willing. That child that's learning to walk, can he ever walk if he is not willing to walk? No. You get the old lazy leg syndrome, right? Put them down and the legs just go everywhere. They're not willing to stand and walk. They have to be willing. And that's just like us. We have to be willing. We can leave here today knowing that we should. But if we're not willing to do what we should, you don't progress any closer to God. Willingness. To the person who's never been saved that may be here today, who has never believed and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, who's never had that moment in life when they realized, hey, I'm lost, I've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for me. He was buried. He rose again. His blood covers my sins. I want to ask Him for forgiveness. I want to invite Him to come into my heart. To that person who is here today, the first thing that has to happen for you to be saved is for you to be willing to do it. You can't be forced into salvation. You can't be coaxed into salvation. It can't be some emotional feeling that someone overwhelms you with and says, come, just come on down. You have to be willing to accept the Lord as your Savior. You have to be willing to receive the gift of God. Willing to. Don't you know that the Bible tells us that God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He gave us a gift, right? You know what you have to do? You have to be willing to receive the gift. I could give you something all day long. I could hand you something all day long. But if you're not willing to receive it, you will never get it. I can be willing to give it like God is. He said, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But then I love John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. They were willing to. To the Christian who's finding it hard to consistently have faith. How many people find it consistently hard to have faith? We do, don't we? To the Christian who's finding it consistently hard to seek God, or consistently to trust God, or consistently show your love to God, or consistently serve, or consistently give to God, even though we know we should. The problem is our willingness. We leave here a lot of times, and sometimes we hear things and we know, and the Spirit tells us, but the first thing that has to happen is our willingness. And we may say that we want to all the time, but God's looking for willingness. We keep expecting these things to happen in our life, but they're never going to happen if we don't get to the point in our heart and mind of being willing to do them. That's the point that God is wanting for us to get to in order for us to consistently be able to show these things. He wants our willingness to do them, not that somebody tells us that we have to or we need to, but that we're willing to do these things. As far as someone accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, even as their Savior, you know, you can't have somebody do it for you. You can't have somebody sign you up for it. You can't be pressured into it. You can't let somebody else pray the prayer. You can't let somebody say, hey, come to this class and learn enough about it. That piece of paper doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter who says you're confirmed to this or confirmed to that. God wants to see that you're willing to accept the gift that He gave. He's looking for your hand for you to open that door, right? It's willingness. To give you a definition of willing, I'll give you a dictionary definition. Cheerfully consenting or ready. Favorably disposed to do something. Or of a mind to do something. That means that you have willed that that's what you're going to do. Basically, if I were to break it down to you in the way God wants us to see it, basically, God wants us to put aside our will and submit to His will and be willing to make His will our will. Do you hear that? God wants us to put aside our will and accept His will and be willing to make His will our will. God wants us to put aside our will and accept His will and be willing to make His will our will. You said that's a lot of wills. How does that apply to us? I can remember when there were times in my life when I was not where I needed to be with the Lord. My will was not to come and worship Him today. On a beautiful day like today, on a day that I had things that I thought I needed to get done, I didn't get them done in the work week, my week was more important to me. So you know what I did? I willed myself to say, hey, I would rather stay home and work on these things. I would rather go to this place than come and worship. I would rather put my will into place, because if I didn't put my will into place, I wouldn't stay on schedule, and my will was more important. I wasn't willing to come to Him. You know, Jesus, His Spirit's going to be here this morning if we come, and He says, two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also in the midst, right? If you know the Word of God's going to be preached, people are going to be singing praises to Him, then willfully you had to make a decision to be willing to come this morning. Does this make sense? Nod your head if it does. Give me something. All right. Or I'll just pick one of you out. This is to all of us, guys. Our problem with our service, we can say all we want to. We can preach it. We can teach it. But if we're not living that we're willing to do it, if we're putting other things in our will in front of God's will, you are not willing. You're looking for a peace right now. Your life's in a turmoil. It's upside down. This isn't working right. That isn't working right. Here's an obstacle. There's an obstacle. Here's trials. This isn't right. The marriage isn't right. The relationship's isn't right. This isn't right between the kids. Hey, are you willing to do what God says you need to do? You say, how do you know this? I've lived it. I've lived before an unwilling life. And a righteous and loving God will keep having. You have to make a decision to where you're willing or not willing. There's a point that God's waiting for us to get to in order to be consistent to Him. Basically knowing that God wants us to have that time that we put aside our will, to accept His will, to make His will our will. In our fleshly man, this carnal man that we have a desire to do what we're willing to do for ourselves. Everyone has a selfishness inside of them, don't we? I do. Three other people do. Do you have a selfishness inside of you? Do you let somebody order for you when you go out to eat? No. Why? You want what you want, right? Let me tell you how to make it. Burger King made a fortune off of having it your way. Why? Because we want to have it our way, don't we? We want to have our will. We're willing to have it our way. But if we're Christian, then the Holy Spirit inside of us is willing. It is our fleshly will that stops us from being willing to do what God wants us to do. That's why when we read, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, the Spirit is indeed willing. He puts that indeed in there. The Spirit is indeed willing. So He lets us know, don't use that for a cop-out. If you're a Christian, the Spirit inside of you is indeed willing. Your flesh is weak. If you're not doing what God's willing you to do, it's not because of the Spirit. You're overriding the Spirit because you're so selfish you want to do what you want to do. That's basically what He's saying. You say, well, who's He talking to? Me? You, every person that's in here has a fleshly will inside of you. I hear people sometimes praise their children. Oh, he's so strong-willed. She's so strong-willed. And they'll even talk about themselves. Well, you know, it's hard for me to change my mind. I will to do this and I will to do this. Hey, listen, that's not a good thing. God wants you to stay strong on Him, but He wants you to be willing to succumb and submit to His will. Not so headstrong that your will has to be the one. He wants a willing mind and a willing heart. You know what that is? That's a servant's mind and a servant's heart. A willing person submits to God. I can look across the board and see that throughout my Christian life where I was struggling, across the board 100% of the time, it was because I was not willing to submit to what God told me I must do. How many people have heard the phrase ready, willing, and able? You ever heard that? Here we are, ready, willing, and able. I've used that in a little motivational get up before to my boys when we're doing something or to a little ball team. We're ready, willing, and able. Something about that phrase I noticed as I was just studying willing. As a matter of fact, that's where the sermon started. I think I heard the phrase, and then I looked back and I thought, you know what? Basically, everything that we preach that we need to do this and preach that we need to do this. The Bible says this, but I hear myself all the time saying, you need to be willing to do this and willing to do that and willing to do that. Hey, what's up with this willing? Ready, willing, and able. Get this. For the Christian, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so once we get the Holy Spirit inside of us, that is that God has come into us, do you know that you are ready to do the things that please God? You're ready. Why? Because you're equipped with the Holy Spirit. You've got God working inside of you. And to the Christian, do you know that we have all the power of God working through us, that the Spirit makes us able? So we know that we're ready when we get saved. We know that we're able because the Bible says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Say that word with me. Power makes you able, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and into Judea and to the Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. You have power. So you're ready and you're able. Hey, you missed one. Right. What's that word? Willing. Do you know what? God supplies the readiness. He supplies the ableness. Guess what he asked us to supply? To be ready, willing, and able, God's going to do 66.66% of the work. You are left to do the other. God makes us ready. He makes us able, but he can't make us willing. You have to be willing. He'll help you to get to that point, but that's something you have to do. You have to decide, do I really want to be willing? So many Christians are not complete Christians because they're not willing to be Christians. If we look through the Bible, we'll see how important this is. God says it's that important to be willing. And I want to show you something. There's a theme that goes throughout the entire Bible, and it's based on willingness. I've been so giddy to preach this. I prayed this morning, God, please let me live long enough to preach this sermon. Why? If you get this, and can knock off the 10 years of wandering away from God that I had, then glory to God. And it's all based on this one word, willingness. When I look back, I can say in all honesty, I knew what I needed to do. I knew what I should do. I heard preached what I was supposed to do, but I was not willing. If you look through the Bible, you'll see that everything that God promises us, get this, this is how big it is. Everything in the Bible that God promises us, everything that he wants to bless us with, everything is based on our willingness to do what he requires to get the promises and blessings. Do you know that? God doesn't say, I'm going to just give you this. Everything is based on your willingness to do what it takes to get it. That's the way God is. From salvation, if you're willing what? If you're willing to humble yourself and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you can receive your gift. If you're willing to do all these things, if you're willing to trust, I'll bless you and your trust will grow stronger. If you're willing to serve, I'll give you opportunities to serve and you'll see lives change. If you're willing to sing, I'll give you a song. If you're willing to pray, I'll talk to you. If you're willing. Amazing. You see, the problem is not God giving to us. The problem is our willingness to do what we need to do to get it. I want to look at several examples in God's Word. We won't spend a lot of time on any of them. I just want you to see how it's peppered through the Bible so that he can get his point across. We'll see examples of God's Word where we will see the importance of our willingness to God. God wants to see those who are willing. He wants to use those that are willing. He wants to bless those that are willing. Start in Exodus chapter 35. There's a story here. As God had Moses lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness, he told them, you need to build a place you can come in and worship. Put the Ark of the Covenant in there. That's going to be my presence. And when you come into that, you're going to bring sacrifices. That's how you're going to communicate with me. They had never had a temple before, but understand, they were nomads. They were wandering through the wilderness, so they had to put up a mobile temple. It's called a tabernacle, basically a tent. It was the tent of the meeting. And God gave specific instructions for this tent. I mean, it wasn't just put a pole here, put a pole here, put a stake in the ground here, put a stake in the ground here. God gave specific instructions and all the way down to the wood that needed to be used. He gave specific instructions to the vessels, some made out of gold, some made out of bronze, some made out of silver, some made out of these things, and who what the priests had to be dressed in. So all these things, where are they going to get these from? They're in the middle of the wilderness. So he gave instructions here. And if you get to Exodus 35, you will see In all of these things, one thing that echoes through these scriptures, read Exodus 35 with me. I want to read to you, now that we've set that up, verses 4 and 5 of Exodus chapter 35. Listen to his instructions. He says, through Moses, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying," stop right there. Moses is standing there. There's 2 million people standing in front of Moses, men, women, and children, rulers, princes, everybody, heads of family, captains, everybody. This is what he's telling them, that ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Who did God want the offerings to build this tabernacle in the wilderness? Who did he want the offerings from? From just anybody that was willing, that was going to give them? To somebody that wanted their name somewhere? To somebody that wanted this? Somebody that wanted recognition? Somebody wanted a tax write-off? No. You know who he wanted them from? Those who was willing. "Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and brass." So understand that there are millions of people there. Anybody could have brought it, but God specified, "I want it from those who have a willing heart." Now go down to verse 21, because after Moses had told them this, people started to come, and they started to bring the things that they melted down to make these vessels of gold and things to equip the tabernacle so that they could have a place to worship. When we get to verse 21, it says, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred them up." How about that? Their heart got stirred, right? "And everyone whom his spirit made," what? Willing. "And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, and for all the service, and for all the holy garments." Praise God. Listen to what he says. Notice who came. First of all, everyone whose heart stirred him up. They had a willing heart. The second thing of verse 21, everyone whom his spirit made willing. Don't you know that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak? And that it requires a willing spirit? God doesn't even want to use somebody that's not willing. He's no different than we are. When I tell my children and my boys, you know, having boys, you want them to work and you want them to do jobs, right? You want them to do jobs, so you tell them, "Hey, you need to do this or you need to do that." If I hear somebody turn their head and mutter a word as they're going and they don't have this willing attitude of wanting to do it, listen, we have a come to Jesus meeting. Why? Because I want an attitude of willingness. And then I might spurt off something like, "Hey, I feed you, I clothe you, I warm you, I keep you fed, I pay for you, I've raised you since a child, I brought you in this world, I can take you out," anything that you want to say. But number one, when I ask you to do something, I want you to be willing to do it for me, right? Why should God be any different? He's the ultimate Father. You say, "Well, I hate you hear that." Listen, I don't hear maybe all they say, but God hears every word that I've ever said and that you've ever said. When we weren't willing, how do you think he's feeling about us? Here's an opportunity to serve. I don't want to serve. I don't like people to serve with. Can't do it. I don't have time. I got to be here. I got to be there. Right. He's looking at that same thing. Exodus 35, the next verse, verse 22, it says, "And they came both men and women, as many as were willing hearted." What word is consistently through this text?
Willing.
You think it's important to God? Amen. How many came? As many as were willing hearted. Exodus 35, go down to verse 29. Notice, they brought a willing offering unto the Lord. A willing offering whose heart made them willing to bring. It's all the way down through it. Listen, for everybody that needs to see it, look at your Bibles. Look at how many times it says willing. You might be wanting to fight it right now, but God is telling you that's the one thing that's stopping you from having the peace in your life that you need to. A willing heart. Not willing to do your will, not willing to have your plan work out, but willing to succumb to God. It won't be God that takes care of your family. It won't be you that takes care of your family. It'll be God. It won't be you that gives everything. It'll be God. It won't be you that sustains your help. It'll be God. "For my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory." That's what he says in the book of Philippians, right? It wasn't about what they brought. Notice, it was about their willingness to bring it. Now, what happened after they were settled? They needed to build a permanent temple in Jerusalem. Not a mobile temple through the wilderness, but a permanent one. David really wanted to build one, and God said, David, you can't build this. You've got too much blood on your hands. But Solomon, your son, can build it. So guess what? They assembled everybody together again. I'm talking millions. And David spoke on behalf of God. So turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. I want you to see something. God gave orders to build the temple where men would come and worship him. David was speaking to the whole congregation of Israel and to his son Solomon, who would be king and who would oversee the building of the temple. I want you to notice, this is how important it is. First Chronicles, we see this picture. We see a picture of a temple being built to glorify God. And we look down, and if we read in chapter 28, if we begin reading the first two verses, you'll see it says, and David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, the captains of the companies, and ministered to the king by course, and the captains of the thousands, and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all substance and possession of the king. Everybody was there. Everybody. And he spoke this. I want you to listen and notice the instructions that he gave. He basically was giving instructions to say, we have to build a temple. My son Solomon is going to build it, but you need to know these things. God needs for you to do your part in the temple, in this place that we're going to have of worship. He needs you to do your part. He needs you to be able to step forward and say, I'm willing to do this above what I'm willing to do for myself. Yeah, that's what service is based on anyway. Not an excuse that you can throw in every other week that says, well, this happened or that happened. He wants you to be willing. Listen, I want to read to you verse 9 as he's speaking to Solomon. Tell me what you think is important. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. What kind of mind?
Willing.
Tell me again. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations of thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. You might find in your Christian life that you feel separated from God. That it doesn't take anything to turn your day upside down. That you lose your peace at the drop of a hat. That one problem is just a preempt to another problem. That something has happened and gone wrong, and the only thing you can do to God is sort of quietly blame him for this happening or that happening. Understand, that's the part that he's talking about. You can either be willing to serve God or you can live your life separated from him, even as a Christian. That's a bad place to be. I want you to notice the first thing that God instructed through David to Solomon is that he needed to have a perfect heart and a willing mind. He didn't say, you need to have an architectural plan. He didn't say, you need to have this or that. You need to have a willing mind, Solomon. A willing mind. If you go down through the verses till you get to chapter 28, verse 21, I think this is huge. This blew my mind when I was reading over it. Listen to what he says in verse 21, because you see, even though they gathered all these things to build these things with, they had to have people to build it. They had to have goldsmiths. They had to have carpenters. They had to have seamstresses and seamers. They had to have all these people to come in. They had to have artisans to come in because they had to build this massive temple. They had to have architects. Listen. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for any manner of service, also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. This was the priority thing in all of Jerusalem. This temple has to be built. But I want you to notice something in the middle of this. He says, and there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship. How many workers do we have in here? How many laborers? Don't you know that nothing gets built without laborers? And we don't need to try to be the boss. We need to try to be the laborer. How many people work with your hands? Guess what he says? He says that he needed all, get this, every willing, skillful man. You say, why is this a big deal? Because he didn't say he needed every skillful man. He needed every what? You can have all the things that you want to do. You can say, hey, I can do this. Hey, I do. I can sing. I can serve. I can go here. I can go there. But God wants willing, skillful people. We like to take an account of what skill we have. We like to say, well, hey, I can do this, or I can teach, or I can serve, or I can do this. Listen, don't expect God to profit it unless you're willingly skillful. That's who he wanted to build his temple. Verse 5 of 1 Chronicles 29, this story goes on. And the question is asked in verse 5, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who then is willing to consecrate this service unto the Lord? You know what? The time was come to ask, who will? Who's willing to consecrate your service, to say, hey, God, your service is more important than what I've got going on? Because God's going to take care of you. You go through big lessons in that. Big lessons. Who is willing? You know, the thing that stood in front of between me and God for so long is that I knew I wasn't willing, even to the point of giving him my time. There was a time that in my life when I had an opportunity to do something, but I was going to miss 5 or 6 weeks of work to do it. And in my heart, I agonized and I said, I need every week to do it. I need every, and I did. I mean, if you looked at the bills and looked at what I owed and looked at this, and I just wasn't willing to do it. And then there was that time when God spoke to me and, listen, I'm telling you about this. There's plenty of times I didn't, but I said, hey, I'm willing to do it. I want to tell you something. I can't explain how it happened, but after that 5 or 6 weeks, I was at a bonus plus than I would have if I would have worked every single week and I didn't make a dime. You say, how does that work? I just know that I was willing to do it. That's one example. I can only use myself because I can't really use your examples unless you testify of them. How many people have been willing to trust God and God has shown up in exceeding abundant ways? How many people? Then you can listen to them. In verse 6, he says they offered willingly. In verse 9, they offered willingly. This is 1 Chronicles 29. The people rejoiced and David rejoiced. I want you to understand what happened. People quit being sad. People quit complaining. People quit saying, woe is me. People quit saying, I can't have this and I can't have that. They started rejoicing. Why? Because a willing spirit started in that place. I'm willing to do it. And they rejoiced. You read the story. I'm not making it up. Verse 14, David prayed a prayer thanking God for the spirit of willingness. He says, God, I've never seen anything like this. You gave us all these things. I want to pray a prayer thanking you for the willingness. Don't you know that's what was changing the place? Verse 17 of chapter 29 says, I have seen the joy of the people who offered willingly. Willingly. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. That's a place in the New Testament where Paul was giving instructions to the Corinthian church about the collection that he was taking up to give back to the saints at Jerusalem. He used the churches of Macedonia for an example. Now, let me explain just briefly. The churches in Macedonia were the church at Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, and the church at Berea. That made up the Macedonian churches. Now, understand, those churches were in the northern Roman province of Greece. They were under severe poverty levels. They had been purged. They had been wiped out. They had been taken as hostage. They had been victims of war. They had been plundered by the Roman armies. They had nothing. These were poor, poor people. But guess what? They had one thing. They were willing to give. Paul used them for an example. Not that they gave this huge amount of money, but that they were willing to give. And if you read this story, you read verses 1 through 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you'll read that Paul says this, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Hey, here's a common denominator. Are you out there, Christian? You don't have that joy? Check your willingness. Because every time we see somebody was willing, what word goes with it? What did the children sing this morning? I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You should. You're up here singing about it. You've got it. Where's our joy? I don't know. Where's our willingness? Listen to what he says. How that it is a great trial of affliction and abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Coincidence? No. Who wrote the Word of God? God inspired every word, every jot, every tittle. Everything that's done, God inspired. You think this word willing is a mistake? No, because he makes the point. For through their power, I bear record. Beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. Beyond what we expected them to do. Beyond their excuses. Everybody has an excuse. We could all justify why we can't come to church. We could all justify why we can't do this, why we can't serve this. Everybody's got a reason. But beyond their power, beyond their power, listen, they were what? Willing. I love it. Verse 4. They were willing to give to the ministry to spread the gospel. Verse 5, you see, they were first willing to give themselves. Verse 11, you'll see it says there was a readiness of will. What word keeps coming up? They were willing, they were willing, they were willing. And then we get to verse 12. Remember how we started this sermon? First base, you have to be what? Willing. Listen to verse 12. For if there be first, hey, there's our word. Say it with me. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. What does this mean? God tells us that he doesn't rate his blessings on the amount that we have. His blessing comes on us for our willingness first. Everything's based on the amount of our willingness, not the amount of our possessions. How cool is that? Our willingness is the first step of faith. Our willingness is the first step of trust. Our willingness is the first step of love. Our willingness is the first step of service. And now we have to look at what happens if we're not willing. If we do not take the first step of being willing. Back in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, there's a story that we read. And this story has got so many different lessons in it, but I want to just summarize this story for you. Moses had led the children of Israel out of Egypt. Listen, they had passed through the Red Sea. A cloud had led them by day, a fire by night. The quail had came down. God had fed them with manna. He had let them do all these things, miraculous signs. And then they got to the Canaan land, the promised land. And God had promised this. He said, this is the land you're going to inhabit. Everywhere your foot touches, you're going to have it. And they got to this promised land. And Moses sent 12 spies over to say, check out the land. And they came back. And the Bible says at the end of Numbers 13, they gave a bad report. You know what they said? They said, those giants there, the people are too big. They're too strong. The walls are too high. They're going to kill our children. They're going to kill our wives. We can't do it. We can't go in. But praise God, there were two men there. One's name was Joshua and one's name was Caleb. And they had a different, the Bible says Caleb had a different spirit. He had a spirit of belief. You know what his spirit was? He was willing. They said, you know what? God said we could have it. Let's go forward. These people are bread to us. In other words, we're going to walk right over it because God said we had it. They believed in a promise of God. They were willing to believe even when it didn't look like it. Let me tell you the outcome. You know, God went back and he put a curse on those people. He said, every person here, 20 years and older, you will never see the promised land. Here's why. You were not willing to believe I would give it to you. And here's the ironic part. Those children you were afraid you were going to lose by going over, they're the only ones that are going to get to inhabit it. I'll take care of your children. Oh, and by the way, two fellas here, Joshua and Caleb, you'll go over. You'll get to go over. Why? You were willing to believe. What a lesson. Now, we've looked at several examples. We've seen all through God's Word, from the beginning to the end, that God tells us. What does He tell us? He tells us, be willing. Examples of what He wants us to know about, first, being willing. But you can look through the Bible and see that everything that God promises, everything that He wants to bless us with, is based on our willingness to do what He requires to do to get those blessings and promises. That's why I told you I couldn't wait today. I wanted to preach it so bad. God, let me live long enough to preach this. Please let me live long enough to preach this. Why? Guys, this is huge. You will see it in every story in the Bible. You can relate this word, their willingness. Every person that God blessed. Noah in the Bible, go back to the book of Genesis. He had to be willing to build an ark in a place that never had rain. And because he was willing, God saved his family. Abraham had to be willing to leave his country and leave his land. And because of that, he received the blessings of God and the covenant with God. Moses wasn't one to speak in public, but you know what? He had to be willing to be the spokesman. He had to be willing to serve God. He had to be willing to walk in front of Pharaoh and speak on behalf of God. And Moses was willing, and guess what? God changed the course of history through him. Joshua, that man that was so strong, he's always had that willing spirit. Joshua stood up after he led them, and he made this statement. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And then he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He was willing to lead his family. Husbands, fathers that are here today, is that one key ingredient? Is that in you? Can you make that statement? Are you willing like Joshua to set the precedent and say, hey, I know in life other people have this and they want this and we have to do this. Are you willing to serve the Lord and let Him give them to you? Are you willing to do your own will to get them? There was a man named David that walked out as a small boy. Guess what? He had to be willing to stand in front of a giant, didn't he? You say, what's that have to do with willing? Well, tell me another person around there that was willing to do it. Were his brothers? Were any of the army? No. What was special about David? He was this, he was that. No. David was willing. There was a man named Daniel that was willing to pray to God no matter what the punishment was. He was going to keep praying, and God rewarded him. There was a man named John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, he was willing to live in poverty out in the desert, eat locusts and wear clothes made of camel hair and not have anything. He was willing to suffer. And Jesus made the comment. He said, there's none above John the Baptist. You go back in the Old Testament, there were three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were willing not to bow down to the idol. And they got to walk with God in the middle of the fire. You go back in the New Testament, you'll see a man named Zacchaeus. Guess what? He was willing to come down from the tree. You'll see a man named Peter. Guess what? He was willing to step out of the boat. You'll see a man named Timothy. Timothy, this man in Acts chapter 7, was willing to preach the gospel of Christ as hard as he could to a bunch of people that had rocks in their hand. He was willing. So when he died, he looked up and it said Jesus Christ himself stood up from where he was seated. Why? Because Timothy was willing. That's huge. There was a man named Paul who was willing to be beaten, who was willing to go to prison, who was willing to spend most of his life in persecution, who was willing to say, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He was willing, and God used him to change the world. But our pattern that we see is Jesus Christ. And Jesus had to be willing to suffer and die for me and for you. You say, well, of course he was willing. You see, even when he could have called 10,000 angels to rescue him, he didn't. You say, well, do you think he had moments where the man part of him came out? Listen, Luke 22:42, Jesus prayed saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Do you think he was looking at the human side? Absolutely. If thou be willing, Father, remove this cup from me. But then listen to the rest of his prayer. Nevertheless, Not my will, but thy will be done. He was willing, wasn't he? Jesus was willing to die to his own will, and he was willing to do God's will. Today I have to say, praise God, Jesus was willing. Amen. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, God has shown us that first we have to be willing. From Genesis all the way to the end of the Word of God. I want to show you this last invitation we ever hear in the Bible. You don't have to turn there. You can mark it and read it later, but I want to read it to you. I want you to listen to the words of Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. It's the last invitation, the last chapter, the last segment of verses. Listen to what the Lord says. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that athirst come. Now listen. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Whosoever will. What does that mean? Whosoever is willing. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, it's been God's theme. You don't have to come a special way to Him. You just have to come willing to Him. Question, are you as willing as you need to be? Are you willing? I had you answer that question when it began. I had you turn and ask the person beside of you. And just to think about it, it's easy for us to answer, yes, I'm willing, right? God knows if we really are. To someone here today that's never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, the one thing that you have to do is be willing to do it. When we have this time of invitation, and even now, if you have questions in your mind, you don't know that you've really received Him as your Savior. You know there's a God. You've believed there's a God, but you've never had a time where you've accepted Him as your Savior. You have to be willing to pray to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart. If you want me to pray with you today, I'll be standing right down here. Come, let's pray together. But you don't need to even think it's ever going to happen if first you're not willing. The devil will make you not be willing to step out. He'll say, hey, somebody will look at you. You can't be willing to do it. He's fighting against your willingness. And to the Christian today, it is so easy for us to say we are ready, willing, and able. But are you really willing? Those people that had joy and peace in their life that we find in the middle of all those scriptures that talk about willing, that's no fluke. God gives that. All He wants is us to be willing. The Spirit is willing, right? Are you? If you want to know how to be willing, we go back to that first verse. What did Jesus say? What did He tell the disciples? Watch and pray, right? Be alert. Look what's going on. How do you watch? What were they supposed to watch? They were supposed to watch what's going on. You know why we fail to be willing? We don't sometimes just step back and take a look at our own life. I don't need to look at yours. You don't need to look at mine. We need to look at our life and say, hey, let's look at my life right now. Does it look like I've been really willing to serve God above everything else? That's watching. And then the next step, praying. Because there has to have that time of humility when you say, God, I'm looking at my life. And I'm falling short. I was willing to accept Jesus Christ's blood to cover my sins, but I really haven't been willing to put your life in front of mine. And that's why I don't have no joy. I don't have any peace. Then pray, Father, here I am, willing to serve you. Rededicate your life to the Lord. Watch the joy enter back into your life. Are you willing? Huge, huge word in the Bible, isn't it? Run it over in your mind as we have this time of invitation. As you talk to the Lord, examine yourself. Pray with me. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for your precious word. I thank you, God, that you've shown us in your word what you require of us, Lord. I know you want us to believe. I know you want us to trust. I know you want us to love. I know you want us to, Lord, be able to serve and be able to give, but Lord, I see The thing that stops us is our willingness. I pray, God, you show it to each one of us in here. Thank you for showing it to me. Lord, I pray that today prayers are lifted up all over this sanctuary, that lives are changed. I pray if there's one here today that has never accepted you as Savior, Lord, I pray that they come today and fall on their knees and are willing to receive the gift that you offered in your Son, Jesus Christ, and believe in what he did. I pray for Christians today, Lord. I pray as Christians lift up their prayers to you, Lord, I pray, God, that you encourage them, that you reward them for their willingness, that you let them see the power that you have on them, the readiness and the ability that you have, if they're just willing. In Jesus' name, amen.